Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast. Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a Thursday. I'm recording on Thursday. You may get this on Friday, late week edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Preview of the Jaguars game coming up on Sunday at NRG Stadium. Great to be with you. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. As we get ready for week four of the NFL season, Texans at 2-1, Jags at 0-3. Trying to get their first win. Jags, one of three winless teams in the NFL, and they're all in the AFC, and two of them are in the AFC South. So, purely empirically, the Texans' future schedule is lining up nicely. Although I think the Jags probably a little better than their 0-3 record would indicate. So we'll get into all that. We'll get into the latest news with the Houston Texans as well. Some injury news that we'll get into. And then we'll be on our merry way for the weekend. So just want to get you guys up to speed with my thoughts on this game, final prediction for the game as well. And it seems like the Texans are pretty dialed in. The only real big news right now is that it looks like Tank Dell is probably going to miss this game with a rib injury. He left the game on, before we get into all that, just a reminder to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. That's at the bottom of the screen on YouTube here. But hit the subscribe button. If you're thinking about it right now, you'll get reminded again. Don't you worry. You'll get reminded again. So, probably the biggest news I would say is Tank Dell probably going to miss this game with a rib injury. Now, Tank's off to a slow start statistically. And my guess is this is going to make things a little more difficult to move the football. I don't know if this changes how teams attack the Texans, and none of us know how long Tank is going to be out for, if indeed he's out. I'm going based off of Aaron Wilson's report that Tank is likely to miss the game on Sunday. Tank left the game on this past Sunday against the Vikings with what looked to be like a hand injury or a wrist injury or something. And then he popped up on the injury report this week, and I think it says chest and rib. D'Amico's catching a lot of heat for having Tank in towards the end of the game. I can see both sides of it. You know, D'Amico's got to field a team in some respects and have guys out there. Plus, the team can probably use the reps. It's not as though they've been super crisp offensively. So getting some actual live reps against an NFL team is probably something that's productive. On the flip side, Tank is one of the tiniest individuals in the NFL, and every hit that he takes exposes you to the risk of something like this happening. Early on here in his career track, you know, Tank was a third-round pick, and the guy I'm about to name was a first-round pick. But Tank is reminding me a little bit of Will Fuller, you know, where they've got these otherworldly superpowers. You know, Will had 4.2 speed. Tank's not quite as fast, but he's got crazy twitch and lateral movement and shake and shimmy and all that stuff. So they both have superhero powers that scare the shit out of a defense. But they're both very injury prone, you know. And look, I know Tank's injury last year. He got caught in a pile. Guy landed on his leg. That might have broken Nico's leg. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is early on, we're 20 games into Tank's career. He hasn't played 20, but the team has played 20 since he's been on the team. And he's missed the game with a concussion. He's missed the rest of the season last year with a broken leg. Now he's got some rib injury that I'm assuming is from a hit. So I can see people being concerned about Tank being in towards the end of the game. The bottom line is, I think this is as big a reason why the team went and got Stephon Diggs as being able to throw three elite wide receivers out there. Here are the facts. Nico Collins has missed multiple games every year he's been in the NFL. Last year was better than the first two, but he still missed basically most of, you know, all or most of three games last year, if I'm not mistaken. There was one, the Jets game, he went out very early. So that counts as a game played, but he was gone early in the game. And then he missed two other games in the season, during the season as well. And then I just outlined Tank. I think Diggs has been a rock. Diggs doesn't miss games. So I think one of the big reasons you get Diggs is that unless you just get catastrophic injuries, you're at least guaranteed of having two guys out there. Like, they're going to be fine going into this game with Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. These are two of the top, 15 receivers in the league? I'm not talking statistically, although they may be statistically. Diggs had a big game on Sunday, but he'd been pretty paltry the first two. But just two really, really good A-list wide receivers. They'll be fine. It's just, it sucks, man. It's fun having all three of them out there, and we haven't seen that yet. We've seen all three of them out there, but we haven't seen the offense that we, I won't say we were promised, maybe the offense that we all promised ourselves when they traded for Stephon Diggs. So that's disappointing. And then the other injury news, it looks like Damian Pierce is back and Joe Mixon is still out. I kind of wish that was flipped around. I would be really cool going into this game with the backfield of Joe Mixon and Cam Akers. Instead, we're going in possibly with the backfield of Damian Pierce and Cam Akers, and I'm a little shakier on that one, understandably so. So that's the injury news for the Texans, and I guess for the Jags, at least as I'm recording this, Evan Engram and Foye Oluokun are still out, the tight end and the inside linebacker. Those two missing the game on Sunday would be a really, really nice development. Not that I wish injury on anybody, but as long as they're already injured, all I'm saying is take the appropriate amount of time to convalesce and nurse the injury, guys, okay? Be responsible is all I'm saying. Just be responsible. So there's that. So before we get to the game and give you my six-pack preview on the game, a reminder that the mailbag goes every Tuesday. I think it dropped Wednesday this week. Sorry about that. It recorded on Tuesday, dropped on Wednesday morning. For those of you sitting there at your computers waiting for it to come out like this, I really appreciate you. But I record on Tuesday. So I say all that to say, get me your mailbag questions before Tuesday, houmailbag@gmail.com. So let's get into the six-pack for this game for the Jags and the Texans. And before we get into each of those things, and the six-pack is just, it's really five things that I'm watching for, and then the sixth beer, if you will, is the prediction on the game. I guess just for history's sake, just sort of laying the groundwork for this, it's been an interesting run between these two teams since Trevor Lawrence came into the league in 2021. It feels like there's a real delineation with the history between these two teams in recent history, where, 2020, Bill O'Brien's gone, Deshaun Watson is gone after 2020, and now in comes Trevor Lawrence for the Jags. In comes clearly a new direction for the Texans in 2021 with Nick Caserio being the really only longstanding thing from them, from then of significance. So I'm looking in the micro window of 2021, and it's been very, very interesting. The Jags have not beaten the Texans in Jacksonville. The Texans are undefeated in Jacksonville. In fact, the Texans, if I'm not mistaken, still have their AFC South road winning streak going. So they've David Culley beat the Jags in Jacksonville. And then Lovie Smith beat the Jags in Jacksonville. That was the year they made the playoffs, but it was early in the season. And then obviously D'Amico Ryans in week three last year in a game where the Jags were favored by a touchdown, got his first win as an NFL head coach in Jacksonville. So that's significant. As far as the home history goes, David Culley beat Urban Meyer in week one of the 2021 season, which is crazy to think when you consider the two of them and their chops, respective chops as head coaches, just as head coaches. I'm not going to say at what level. It's just crazy to think like David Culley beat Urban Meyer, and then as the season wore on, proved to be a better NFL head coach than Urban Meyer, who got fired with like 3 weeks left in the season. Culley got fired too, but at least he made it the whole season. Good job, David. So that was at home in 2021. And then at home in 2022, the Jags were on their roll towards the playoffs. That was towards the end of the year. They killed the Texans. They destroyed them like 31-0 or 31-3, something like that. And then last year at home, which is the one that really matters within the context of previewing this game, week 12, Jacksonville at Houston, 24-21 Jags, the final score. That was the game where Matt Amendola hit the crossbar with a 58-yard field goal try that would have tied the game. Also ended a three-game winning streak for the Texans at the time. They had beaten Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and Arizona 3 weeks in a row. So they were Texans were kind of on a roll. They were 6-4 going into that game. The Jags were 7-3 going into that game. The Jags win that game to go 8-3. Texans are 6-5. And at that point, if you're the Texans, you're just trying to make a wild card probably. Who knew that the Jags would spit the bit and cough up the division and the Texans would end up winning the division. But the other reason that game at NRG Stadium is significant last year, that's the last time Trevor Lawrence won a football game. He has started 8 games since that win over the Texans, and he's not won a single one of them. He went 0-5 down the stretch last year. The Jags won a game, but it was with C.J. Beathard at quarterback. Trevor Lawrence went 0-5. Trevor Lawrence went 0-5 down the stretch, got a $275 million contract, and now has started off this year 0-3. So it is incumbent upon the Texans to keep Jacksonville miserable. Keep Jacksonville, the city, the team, the personnel, the coach, keep it miserable. Do not give them life on Sunday. All right. So, yeah, like the last time Trevor Lawrence played good football, it was here. So don't let him remind himself of that thing. All right. So let's give you the things, the six pack here, just six sort of things that I'll be watching, 5 things I'm watching, and then a prediction. We'll start with 1, penalties. Enough with the penalties already. DeMeco has promised us that they have fixed these penalties. I didn't hear him say necessarily, I promise, but he said it's fixed. And I take him at his word that this is fixed. Now, it's not a high bar to clear to say we got better with the penalties. You've committed 12 2 weeks ago and 11 last week. So it's not really like I don't want to hear after the game if they commit 9 penalties that they got better in that area. All right, they got to forget about what the previous numbers have been. They got to play clean football. And I'm not saying it's got to be 0 penalties, but you can't have the pre-snap stuff. You can't have the unforced stuff. There's going to be holding penalties. There's going to be pass interference penalties. That'll happen. Enough with the lining up improperly. Enough with the false starts. All right? Defense, I know you didn't do a lot of this, but I'm going to tell you, don't jump off sides. You know, hold your water, that kind of thing. So penalties, I don't know that the Jags are a team where if the Texans commit a bunch of penalties, they're doomed to failure, the Texans. They can probably get away with being sloppy again, and especially at home and winning this game. I just don't need to see it. I need to see improvement. I need to see that these guys care, especially the offensive line. I need to see that they give a shit about this stuff and that they're not just doing it and doing it and doing it because it puts DeMeco in a bad spot. I don't know where we're at with that right now. This week, it seemed like there were a few people that there was extra vitriol pointed towards than I've seen before. Laremy Tunsil, 1. Not that Laramie's always been a super popular player or anything. I think there's been a love-hate thing with Laremy Tunsil from about the time that he got here. Good player, obviously. There was no love-hate. This was hate-hate this past week. I think Bobby Slowick was catching some strays this week, so we'll see what the offense looks like. I don't know that DeMeco's catching heat from the fan base necessarily. I just don't want to live in a world where we're starting to veer towards that. And Laremy Tunsil's really pushing the issue. Laremy Tunsil's getting all these false start penalties and is really putting DeMeco in a rough spot to have to justify explain why he's out there. Now, look, Laremy does so many good things. I understand the balance sheet, but I don't know that every fan out there understands the balance sheet. And I know for sure DeMeco Ryans would not like to have to explain the balance sheet of, well, here's what Laremy does good. And here's what he does poorly. He shouldn't have to do that. This is so correctable and fixable. So penalties, 1. 2, run game. Got to run the football. Very anxious to see how they decide to split up carries. I'm anxious to see who's the starter. If it's Damian Pierce and Cam Akers out there, I'm not expecting Joe Mixon. So I am expecting Damian Pierce based on Aaron Wilson's report. And obviously Cam Akers played last week, had a few nice runs, but overall the numbers very, very poor. So I'm anxious to see who gets the first snaps of the game. I'm anxious to see, because I don't think if it's Damian, I don't think Damian gets the first 12 carries and Cam gets 3. I think it'll be pretty evenly split, I think. But how much of a hot hand do they go with? You know, if there's one guy that's really killing it, do they ride that guy in the second half? Game situation will matter, you know, the game script and how it's playing out, that'll matter. But how do they run the ball, period? Like, and then 2, how do they choose to run the ball and split up the carries. My confidence level is higher in Cam Akers than it is Damian Pierce at this point. My guess is the team, specifically D'Amico Ryans, has a higher confidence level in Damian Pierce than Cam Akers. That's just reading the tea leaves. So that's number two. Number three, protect C.J. Stroud. The pass protection was really ragged last week. C.J. got sacked four times for 42 yards. He was a lot back there. He was not comfortable throwing the football. I don't put a ton of the loss last week at C.J.'s feet. I put it at the feet of the offensive line largely in the run game. But you got to protect him. You got to keep him upright. If you give him time to throw, he will piece this defense, even without Tank Dell out there. He will slice and dice if you give him time to throw. So give the man time to throw. The Jags' strength of their defense is their defensive ends. Trayvon Walker, former number one overall pick. Josh Hines Allen now. He's not Josh Allen anymore. He must have gotten tired of being confused with the other Josh Allen. They look exactly alike. They don't. But their names looked literally exactly alike. He's Josh Hines Allen now, and he's one of the premier edge rushers. Trayvon Walker's fine. Josh Hines Allen, really, really good. So it's going to be incumbent upon Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil to, A, don't jump, don't fall start, and then protect CJ. Give CJ time to throw. He will slice and dice. So that's number three. Number four, similarly, on the other side, heat up Trevor Lawrence. Get pressure on him. He hasn't had a good game yet this year, and I watched Monday night, and dude was seeing ghosts. He was seeing ghosts out there. He got sacked four times as well. He got hit nine other times. He was banged up all last year. You've got Danielle Hunter, and you've got Will Anderson, man. The Bills were heating him up with lesser players than that. And I think Will and Danielle have been good so far this year. Like, if we're looking at bright spots, and spots that are lacking, they're bright spots for sure. But they get after Trevor Lawrence. He will throw one to you. He threw a horrible interception. He wasn't even pressured, and he threw a horrible interception in that Monday night game. But get some heat on Trevor Lawrence, and he's gonna either put one on the ground or put one in your hands, one or the other. But I think that's the real key to me defensively. The Jags have some real nice weapons. Brian Thomas, the kid they drafted out of LSU. They signed Gabe Davis, former Buffalo Bill. Christian Kirk has been a nice player for them. Evan Ingram's on the injury list right now, but Travis Etienne out of the backfield is a nice weapon too. So they've got some really viable weapons. I think the Texans have the players on the other side to help contain that. Trevor Lawrence, heating him up is the key. So that's number four. Number five. This isn't even like a tactical or an X's and O's thing. This is a plea from me, Sean Pendergast, to you, the Houston Texans. Let's go get a man fired on Monday. Okay. On Sunday, let's go out and get a man fired on Monday. And I'm talking about Jags head coach Doug Peterson. He's second on the odds board right now to be the first head coach fired. Bill Belichick is The Jags are second on the odds board now to land Bill Belichick. So there's all kinds of smoke right now. And Trevor Lawrence's lack of development is really killing Doug Peterson, because I'm telling you, they can't fire Trevor Lawrence. They've got too much invested in him now with that contract. As soon as Lawrence signed that contract, the clock started ticking on Doug Peterson. And the clock is ticking faster and faster and faster. The sands are going through the hourglass very quickly on Doug Peterson. Texans, you can end this center part hair motherfucker's Jaguars career, okay? Sorry I had to curse like that. But he parts his hair in the middle. And that's enough to fire the guy on the spot, in my opinion. This can of beer in the six-pack is not all about Doug Peterson. It's about a mindset with the Texans. Getting Peterson fired might be a byproduct of it, but if they get a lead in this game, don't let these guys up. That is the one thing the Texans generally do over the last 2 years. And I'm thankful for the last year plus, I'm super thankful for it, because in 2020, 2021, and 2022, all they did was lose. Now, at least I'm being somewhat petty over the way in which they're winning, you know, but it's because they're better than this sometimes. It feels like the Texans, generally speaking, do one of two things. They either win a close game, allowing a team to hang around, or they get blown out by an equal or superior team. That, for the most part, that's what seems to they seem to have evolved into. They have so many chances to take teams that are lesser than them and put them away. It's happened this year. It happened against Chicago. Cam Akers fumbles a ball. They could go up 26-10. And now next thing you know, you're having to survive at the end of that game. That's unacceptable. And I know they won. And for me to say it's unacceptable after a win, well, okay. But guess what happens the following week? You go out there with the same goddamn mindset and you lose 34-7 to the Vikings. Nothing gets fixed. So if you get up on these assholes, stay on top of them. Stay on top of them, put the foot on the throat, and win this thing by three touchdowns so we can all celebrate in the club level during the last part of the fourth. I can't, but I'm speaking for the fans right now so that they can stay to the end of the game and go out and tailgate and celebrate a win and feel good about it, not feel like, God, we just survived. I mean, you're better than so much of this. So that's my plea is do that. If you got a chance to win by 20 or 24, then God damn it, win by 20 or 24. Don't commit stupid penalties or go three and out or lose focus. It's somewhat exasperating and it's a pattern and it's not good. And it's not, and I tell you, you won't win a Super Bowl doing it. You won't win a Super Bowl doing it. So if the byproduct ends up with Doug Peterson's center part stupid-looking head fired in the whole thing, great. I just want you, Texans, to, if you get the chance, you get the opportunity to put the foot on the throat, then do it. Don't take your foot off and go, are you okay, buddy? Here, get up. Here, here's a five-yard penalty for you. Here, here you go. So, love the Texans, but man, they make it hard sometimes. All right, and then number six, the prediction, 27-17, Texans. Will that keep me from getting heated over the pattern? I don't know. I got to see how the pattern of the game is. I don't know. You know, if it's 20-17 and they tack on it, if it's a close game the whole way back and forth and the Texans throw a touchdown on at the end, then I'll probably be okay with it. You know, it's like I accept the fact that the Jags might show up and play a good game. I'm not saying they should win by 24, the Texans. All I'm saying is if you get up by 10 or 14, then don't. If you get up by 10 or 14 and I'm still sweating in the fourth quarter, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. 27-17, final score. I didn't know I was going to get this angry, man. I'm taking some antibiotics. I got this infection on my elbow. It looks not as bad as it feels. It's really painful. So my whole arm is like numb. So I'm taking these antibiotics. Maybe they're making me irritable. Do I seem irritable? I don't think I seem irritable on the show. If I got irritable on the show, you know what would happen? Seth would double my irritability and put me in my place. That's what would happen. So I think I'm okay. I think I'm all right. All right. So that's my prediction. That's the game. And sorry if I got heated. Or if you enjoy it, let me know. Send me an email, houmailbag@gmail.com. Say, you know what I like? Salty Sean. Salty Sean is fun. Amy would be like, no, he's not fun. Also subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Appreciate all of you. I'm going to get out of here. Actually got to go to a doctor's appointment for said elbow infection. So I will see all of you on Sunday after the game, after the post game. If you're going to the game, a reminder, come by and say hello on the big stage outside NRG Stadium with Seth and I doing the show. Come by, take pictures, say hello. So I look forward to seeing you guys out there. And again, hit that subscribe button, and I'll see all of you on Sunday following what we all hope is a Texans win. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Utopia Football Podcast.